For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org.
My name is Brian Adams. I work here at Xenos doing administration. And as I've thought about this conference and about love, one thing I was realizing in my own life is that it's very difficult to practice this great call because of how busy we are. That often can short-circuit our ability to love, and so that's what I want to talk about today is how do we overcome that and stand strong in this call to love. Okay, so I was thinking about this passage in Matthew 22 where a man, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question, testing him, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and prophets." Obviously, as we've learned this week, the most important priority in our lives is to love the people around us. And yet, I was studying and thinking about a passage in Luke 10 which revealed a way in which this doesn't happen, something that blocks our ability to love. So we look here in verse 38, as they were traveling along, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her." What can we glean from this passage? Well, we notice first that it says Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. And so what we notice is that she's preparing things too. She's trying to serve. Martha is genuinely trying to do a good thing for Christ. She's trying to serve. She's trying to love. And it's a good thing that she's doing. However, she gives this statement, "Don't you care that my sister's left me to do all of this by myself? Tell her to help me." So even though she's doing something good, she's angry. She's accusing toward Jesus. This isn't exactly she's trying to love, but she ends up coming off angry and accusational instead. Why? Why is this happening? Why is she this way? She calls Jesus Lord. She's trying to serve the Lord, but isn't her tone saying something so different than that? Is she really addressing Christ as Lord with the way that she's treating him right here? And Jesus notices that Mary is just seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word, and he encourages that. Says, "Martha, you're so worried and bothered, but Mary has chosen the good thing that won't be taken away. She is doing the good thing by listening to my word." And so that's exactly what Mary is doing. So what do we notice about Martha in this passage? Well, we notice that Martha is trying to do something very good. She's trying to serve God. Yet she's restless. And she's relentlessly pursuing this outward service. She just wants to serve, serve, serve. She's being very functional, very on top of things, trying to do a good thing. And so she's pushed by that desire to serve. She wants to be occupied. She wants to get in there and accomplish tasks. And as a result, her attention is divided. Her attention is divided. Jesus is preaching his truth. He's saying things that matter, that give life. But she's so distracted trying to serve that she's missing out on something great. And I wonder if we might fall into this category where we're so busy trying to serve God and accomplish tasks and do the things that God has called us to do that we miss the biggest one, to love God, spend time with him, to love the people around us. This is exactly what happened to Martha. She's trying to serve, but she ends up getting angry with her God and angry with her sister, who is God's child. And might we fall into this category where we get so busy and we're trying to do so many things that we end up being completely and totally ineffective in the call to love? I know this is true of me. I'm someone who I consider myself a very busy person and a very functional person at that. I love to accomplish tasks. I'm all about that. Working administration at Xenos is doing every little thing that you ever could imagine. There can't be a job description because it seems to be added to every week. There's always things to do. There's always things to do when you're working. And so I felt very busy as a result. And I had days in the past where things were really great, and I was just a college student. And you had so much free time. I could spend a bunch of time with God. I could hang out with my friends for 2 hours multiple times a week. It was awesome. And then everything changed. Or in 2014, I got married. That takes up a lot of your time. You want to spend time with your family. You want to spend time with your spouse. I started working full-time, along with going to school full-time, being in a 20-hour-week internship, and I noticed that as the busier that I got, my quotient for love began to decrease at the same rate. I just kept getting busier and busier, and I stopped loving. I was there. I was attending the Bible studies. I was physically present. But spiritually, I was not really giving out at the same capacity that I used to. And I've begun to wonder, is it supposed to be like that? And I don't think so. But when we have a to-do list with so many different things on it and so much things that we need to accomplish, that's just all that we can seem to think about. And so we show up to Bible studies, we show up to church, and all we're thinking about is, I got to accomplish, I'm worried, I'm stressed, I've got so much to do, that focusing on people, focusing on God goes out the window. And a lot of people like to offer forms of advice. And I was thinking about like those motivational posters that are meant to inspire you. You know, wake up with determination, go to bed with satisfaction. Yeah, just do something like that. How about don't stop when you're tired, stop when you're done. Yeah. Try hard. So when I was in high school, I had a soccer coach, and his go-to phrase was always, do it better. Just do it better. Just continue to work harder, and everything will work out just fine. Well, this isn't really helpful, is it? It's not helpful. You know, you're so busy, you're so clustered. Just simplify your life. Oh, thank you. Great. Yeah, I'll do that. That sounds really great. It's so difficult. It's not as simple as a little pithy statement. That's not a way that we're just going to turn our lives, that we just try harder, then we'll be so able and capable to be relaxed and loving and refreshed all the time. That's not how things work. We're stressed out. We're busy. We're frustrated. And it short circuits us. But I do not think that it's impossible to love others in this scenario. In fact, I believe that we are actually more capable as we get busy because of God's empowerment. Doesn't 2 Corinthians 12 teach that? Where Paul says that he's well content with weaknesses, with insults, with persecutions, with distresses, because when he's weak, then he's strong. God says that his grace is sufficient, his power is perfected in weakness. So when we're weak in this scenario, when we don't have the same amount of time, when we don't feel to have the same amount of strength because we're so stressed out, I don't think that means we can't love. In fact, I believe we can love more, even in these scenarios. It's important to note as we engage this topic that this is not a workshop on how not to feel busy, because you always will. You're always going to feel busy. In fact, you probably always will be busy. Serving God is busy work. And it should be that way, right? What would we want to do with our time more than to serve the God of the universe? This is going to be a busy time. We work jobs. We're trying to serve. We're trying to meet with people in our community. We're trying to share our faith with people. That is busy stuff. But what would we rather be busy with? It's an important thing. So we want to talk about how can we love while we're busy. We want to expect that we will be busy, and that's not what we're trying to avoid. What we're called to do is to make the most of our time, as opposed to having a bunch of free time to do nothing. In Ephesians 5, starting in verse 15, it says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That we want to make the most of our time. We don't want to have just a bunch of free time. That's not really ever going to happen if we really want to serve God. And honestly, we can be refreshed and excited and pumped up about God's work, even when we're overloaded with stuff going on in our life. But loving others is a must if we want to make the most of our time. Consider 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give my possessions to feed the poor, and I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is a must. And I think we get so caught up in our schedules. I know that I do. I get so caught up in what I need to do, what I need to accomplish, that I forget this part, and it's the most important. Some of us, many of us, succumb to being functional at the expense of being faithful. And that's not the way our lives are meant to be. We want to be faithful to this call to love, even in the midst of extreme busyness. So it is possible in my mind to give too much attention to outward service, and I say that because I do that often. I love ministry. I'm not saying that we shouldn't honestly, actively try to serve regularly, but it is possible to give too much attention to that, and because of that, we may end up burning out in the process and forgetting our main call here. And we should note, it's not that we're doing bad things. It's not that, you know, being really busy with a lot of things, that doesn't mean that they're bad, but we might not be doing the best things. Martha was busy doing good things, but she avoided the best thing that would have made her much more effective in the process. And I think the first thing that often goes from our schedule when we're busy, like Martha, is time spent at God's feet. And with that, love goes out the door. When we're so busy and we have so much to do, what's the first thing that you cut out of your schedule? I know oftentimes for me, the first temptation, you can't spend time with God today. Our flesh is so strong. I know I'll wake up. Maybe I wake up a little bit late for work that day. Okay, God, I can't read. Okay, I'm going to read on my lunch break. I get to my lunch break. I'm kind of behind on my tasks, so I need to just eat lunch real quick and keep working. I'll read when I get home. I get home. Oh, God, I'm going to hang out with my wife a little bit. Or I need to do this. I need to do that. And so our lives just continue. Just things keep piling up. And we avoid this important thing to spend time at God's feet. And as a result, we become so ineffective as Christian workers in the process. So I want to talk about keys to overcoming. If you feel overwhelmed, you feel stressed out, you feel like you're not loving the people around you as a result, what can we do? This is what we want to examine for the rest of today. First step, obviously, as I've discussed, we need to spend regular time with God, and we'll discuss that at length. Secondly, we want to manage our time well. And while that may sound like a corny motivational poster, we'll actually engage what it means. We'll get into that deeply. And then thirdly, we want to learn how can we deal with the pressure and anxiety that we will be feeling because of our busyness. So let's hop into this first one, spending time with God. And Under His Wings by Ole Halsby, he writes, "The danger confronting Martha's souls," this is in light of that passage we read in Luke 10, "is to become restless and taken up with outward things. They are impelled by a desire to serve, always active and continually occupied with something in the kingdom of God. But their many interests divide and distract their attention. The one thing needful is inadvertently pushed to one side. Because these people are occupied with what is, after all, Christian work, they do not seem to think it's very dangerous to be a little neglectful of quiet hours at the feet of Jesus. But Satan knows that no Christian can be overcome more easily than the one who neglects to hold rendezvous with his Lord. A human heart cannot be a void. If it is not filled with God every day, it will be filled with the world." Insightful statement from Halsby. We need this time if we want to love. So getting regular time with God must be a non-negotiable in your schedule. It doesn't matter what else is going on. This has to be a must. This is a priority. This is the most important thing, that we must spend time at God's feet. If we are not spending time talking to God and being talked to by God, allowing His love to refresh us, to energize us for what is coming that day, we're not going to be able to pour out. We're not going to be able to give out to people. I love in Psalm 16, when David says that the blessings in his life are so strong that he says, "It's as if my cup is overflowing. My cup cannot contain the amount of blessings that you give me, God. I'm too full." And as a result, he has to give it out. He's almost forced to give it out because he's so overwhelmed with the amazing love of God. But how often do we feel like we're running like our cup is on empty? Like we're totally full, that we can't take anything else on because we've been run too dry. It's not meant to be like that. But if we don't spend time with God, we're never going to feel that way. This will be difficult. This is not going to be easy. In any way, I don't think. Like I said, our sin nature is very strong. Our sin nature is going to try to convince us every single day. You don't have time to read. You got to push it back a little bit later. You can't do it. If you spend time with God, you're not going to finish that paper you got due tomorrow. You're not going to be able, you're going to have to leave hanging out with your group a little bit earlier because you got stuff to do. It's so easy to be convinced of these what ifs and what's going to happen if I take some time to spend with God. So easy. So this is going to be hard. And Halsby writes that it's something that we can't wait for time to appear. We have to take it. We have to take that time. But as I said, if you want to love others, you must spend time with God, right? 1 John 4:19. We love, why? Because God first loved us. That is why we love. If we're not spending time being reminded of that, being refreshed by that, being energized by God, this is never going to work. And so a spare hour is rarely going to fall on your lap. Your boss isn't going to show up to you and just be like, hey, you know, I think you should get off at 4 today. I think that'd be great so you could get a little time with God or something. That'd be really cool. That's not going to happen. Right? We don't just get spare hours often, especially when we're in the full-time working world. This doesn't happen. So we have to take this time. We have to make it happen. And it's important to know, too, that neglecting the Word will stunt your spiritual growth. It's not even just that we want this for other people. You need it for yourself as well. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7, it says, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. You're not going to cause growth within yourself. You're not just going to grow too, even if you do an amazing thing of spending time often in fellowship. That's awesome. It's great, but it's not enough. We need time with the God of the universe who is going to really grow us and move us forward. But we want this time with God to be refreshing. We don't want it to be functional. In our functional lives, we so often, you know, reading the Bible is just a check off my list where I wake up, okay, I'm going to open the Bible. Cool, you know, Ephesians 1, I'm gonna open that. I scan through it real fast. That was pretty cool. Okay, see you later. You know, that's kind of it. Like, all right, I read the Word, I scanned it, and that's kind of all. That's not refreshing. That's just functional. That's just checking a task off the list. And I think about this from when I was engaged. When I got engaged, my wife and I, our date nights often became very filled with planning. We need to plan. We need to get functional. We need to figure out who's going to be at the wedding. What kind of linens are we going to have? Where are we going to go for our honeymoon? That was a good one. That was kind of refreshing. But, you know, things like that. What are we going to eat? You know, we had to figure out all these details all the time. Details, details. Which was good. It was needed. However, that time I often walked out, I wasn't necessarily refreshed because I wasn't getting time to relate to my wife. We were just accomplishing tasks together. And do we walk with God often where we're just accomplishing tasks alongside Him instead of relating to Him and being with Him? That's not going to be refreshing for our souls, and that's not going to energize us to love. So we know in 1 John 5, it says that we know this will of God, that we know when we pray, He hears us. And if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He answers that. Of course it's in God's will for us to have a refreshing time with Him, so we can regularly pray for that because according to 1 John 5, He will grant that. We have to be persistent in it. It's not a magic switch, as you mentioned, but it's something that we should absolutely be praying for on a regular basis. That's awesome. One more tip I would recommend, find your spot. Find a special spot for you that just totally allows you to be calm, to rest, for your mind to be quieted, and try to return there if you can, if that's a regular spot that you can go to. I know I have a place that I love to go. I usually read at work down in our building down on campus. And I've got a spot in a little back hallway. If you go there, don't take my spot. I'm going to tell you where it is. It's in this little back hallway. It's totally quiet. It's totally easy for me. Instead of being around all these people who are always there talking and doing whatever, I can get there. I can be quiet. I don't have to listen to music to not be able to hear everything else. It's just nice and peaceful. And I can just focus and spend time with God. Find your spot like that. What is it for you that makes you comfortable and it's going to make that time a lot better? It's a very pragmatic tip, but it's very good. It's not just reading the Word when it comes to spending time with God. It's also prayer. That's a must. And I don't just mean praying for ourselves, which is pivotal, but we also need to spend time praising God for who He is, thanking God for what He's doing in our lives, and praying for others. As we begin to get the focus off of ourselves and onto God, we're going to experience a greater sense of peace. So that's what we want. We want to get the focus onto Him as we pray, so He can energize us and refresh us. And that's going to change the way that you view your life. If you're someone who always walks around busy, frustrated, worried, anxious, if you can spend time praying and specifically thanking God, getting the focus onto Him, you're going to feel a lot of relief. Doesn't Philippians 4 teach that? where it says that be anxious for nothing, right? That just sounds like great advice, cool, but it's not over there. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so he says in verses 8 and 9, whatever is good, whatever is reputable, whatever is excellent, whatever is worthy of honor, dwell on these things. It is rest for your soul. It is peace for your soul if you can spend time thanking the God of the universe for what he's doing and who he is. We might need to take extra time to do that. Maybe if we struggle here, we need to make a list of every single thing we're thankful for and just sit there as long as we can and continue to write things that we're thankful for, because that could change the way you view your life. God uses that. Another idea is to pray about God's plan for you for that day. Ephesians 2:10 says that God has good works for us that he's prepared for us to walk in. Okay, if God's prepared good works for me, he might have good things for me to do today that I need to accomplish. So we might need to pray about that and ask God to help us to see with our eyes, what is it, God, that you want me to do today, so that we don't take on extraneous things that don't matter and stress us out. And I wonder, too, might we feel overwhelmed because we haven't asked God for peace? Because we haven't asked God for a larger heart to love the people around us. James 4:2 says that we don't have because we don't ask. And I know oftentimes for me, I'm so stressed out and I'm so worried, but I'm never asking God for peace from that. It's so easy to forget that. It's so easy to neglect that in favor of just continuing to try to function. I should just get this all done. I'm just going to make it all happen. We need to ask God. Give me, God, I need peace. You promised me peace. Give me peace. Because I'm really having a hard time right now. God answers that prayer. If you are someone who has little to no time, which is the case with many people, don't expect to always get the same length of time as you did when you're more free. When I was in college, I could spend an hour or two with God, and it'd be totally refreshing and awesome, and I was so excited. Like, the quality of content was so cool. I had so much time to just sit and think about it. And then I got a job, and I got married, and I was still in school, and all this different stuff was going on, and I had, like, 20 minutes, half an hour. It was just like, man, I was really discouraged. It's like my time with God isn't as awesome anymore. It doesn't feel as fulfilling because I'm not getting these amazing emotional insights and spending all of this time praying about every single thing I can think about. I didn't have the time for that anymore. And I don't think that we should expect that. One thing I had to learn was that God is flexible to us. God, and this isn't an excuse to compromise. This isn't an excuse to say, well, I only have 2 minutes of free time a day, so I'm just going to read real quick and that's over with, because that's all the time I have. And it's not like that. We want to spend a good amount of time with God, hanging out with him. But don't expect to always get the hour or 2 hours that maybe you did back in the college days, because you might not have that much time anymore, and that's not a bad thing. You can use a half an hour for God very well, and it's a lot better than never spending time with him at all. If you're a mom, or if you're maybe in a Bible study with moms, I think something that we need to understand is that moms are doing an amazing thing that is the busiest possible work, from what I understand, possible. I'm not a parent yet, and so I don't know exactly, but I have talked to many moms, and I mean, that's more than a full-time job. That's a 24/7 job. You know, you are always thinking about loving, spending time with your children. It becomes really hard to spend time with God, and I know a lot of moms have gotten very discouraged about that and very frustrated because it just seems like the time isn't there, and there's a lot of, it's really easy to get really tired and worried, and I think moms need to understand that it's an amazing thing that you're doing. If you're in that situation, spending time with God is still imperative. It's still imperative, but they can be encouraged to know that this is an awesome thing. And I heard from a godly woman who was a mother that she said mothers need to get time with God on the baby's first nap. Just on the first nap, they got to do it. And if you're really, really, really tired, and you have to, second nap at the absolute latest. And I really found that to be, I really appreciated hearing that, because I don't know. I'm not a parent. I don't know what's going on there. But what I've learned is that, look, it's hard, it's difficult, but it's so imperative, even with the busiest possible, you know, thing you could be doing, we need to spend time with God. So prioritizing that first, sleeping later. And this does require creativity, you know, reading during the baby's nap. Maybe you're really busy and you only have 15 minutes before you have to go to work. Okay, you use that time to read and then pray on your way to work, on your 15-minute commute. You know, spend time praying there. There are ways to be creative here to make this stuff work. Read on your lunch break. for instance, is a good idea. Maybe you're like me and can't wake up at 7 in the morning. I just can't do that. I am not a morning person. I don't wake up that early. If I want to be up at 7 in the morning, I have to stay up all night. That's the only hope for me. So I have to read at a different time. I can't. So when I'm at lunch, that is when I can get time with God. Or maybe if it's, you know, absolutely busy, I have to make it happen after work. But we have to be creative about how we do this. Secondly, second point for overcoming here is making good use of your time. And this breaks up into four small subcategories. Figuring out how busy you really are, setting priorities, setting boundaries, and again, being creative to make good use of your time, like Ephesians 5 said. So how busy really are we? Well, J. Oswald Sanders says in Spiritual Leadership, a leader will seldom say, I don't have the time. Such an excuse is usually the refuge of a small-minded and inefficient person. Jeez. Each of us has the time to do the whole will of God for our lives. It is never the supremely busy men who have no time. So compact and systematic is the regulation of their day that whenever you make a demand on them, they seem to find additional corners to offer for unselfish service. And that is that was a booming statement, and always is. I come back to this chapter often in my walk with God, the leader in time in this book, Spiritual Leadership. And it is difficult to swallow that he's right, that there is a capability for us to have the time. And so I want to ask a question, are you really busy? And I believe for many of us, we really are. I absolutely believe that. But is it possible that we convince ourselves that we're actually busier than we actually are? I know that I'm a very busy person. I fully believe that. I know that there's a bunch going on. However, I also know that I read every single article known to man on ESPN.com. And I spend a lot of time doing that. And so am I busy? Yeah. Could I be less busy if I didn't spend so much time learning every possible factoid about sports? Yeah, I could. I could be a little bit more free if I did something like that, if I gave something like that up. I want to look at, this is a schedule. This is hard to see. I'm going to explain it. Think about this schedule here. This is the schedule. This is what I would imagine is a schedule of someone in like I thought of a Xenos person who's like in a college group and a high school group. They mentor four people. They get time with God every day. They hang out with a peer friend and they go to our leadership training class and they're dating. So that's a lot of stuff. So, you know, all this green time, this is all work and travel, 8:30 to 5:30 every day. All these red boxes are time spent in discipleship. There's a lot of that going on. You got these yellow meetings are when we do meetings here in Xenos. You have the date night over here. You know, you're having fun with your girlfriend, that's good. And then you got class. You got time with your peer friend over here and all the blues time with God that you're spending. And this person is busy. I mean, they're working 8:30 to 5:30 every day. That's work and travel, so working a 9 to 5. They're even getting up at 9 on the weekends to spend time with God. I mean, they're busy. This is a packed out schedule. Yet, notice with me, isn't there still a decent amount of free time here? Even in the midst of this, you look at that Sunday on the far left, there's still free time from 10 to 12. There's free time from 2 to 4. Sunday nights, what are you going to do there? There's time between work and whatever you're doing for the night. Look at that Saturday. That's so free. You're not doing anything. 10 to 6. You have so much free time there. There's so much to do. There's so much opportunity to do the things you need to do. Work on a paper, work on a teaching, whatever it may be that you need to accomplish. Even in the lives of the most supremely busy, there is lots of free time. So one thing that we may need to do is we may need to dissect our schedules and think about, am I really as busy as I think that I am? Or am I just saying that because I feel so busy? We might be overcomplicating things. We might not be quite as busy as we think that we are. And J. Oswald Sanders says, for those who are really busy, a person's entire contribution to the kingdom of God may turn on how our spare hours are used. That free time that we have, even if it's little, that may be the difference between effective and ineffective leadership. So if you are really busy, how are you using that spare time? And it's important to rest. We're going to get to that. We're going to talk about that. It's not that we just need to do stuff 100% of the time. But that's an important thing to consider. We should note, too, that there are different people with different giftings and capacities. What maybe I am capable of handling may be different for somebody else. I am an extreme functioner. I love to function and do things and accomplish things, and that's what I'm all about. Not everyone's like me, thank God. Not everyone's like me, and they have different capacities. Maybe they're a lot better at something else, and they spend more time doing something else. We're gifted differently, so we shouldn't expect, maybe if you have someone in your life who's feeling really overwhelmed, they're not taking on as much as I am. You know, what's going on? They should just work harder. Okay, people have different capacities. We need to understand that and be flexible to that. But what we need to know more than anything is that the call to love never changes. No matter what your capacity, no matter what your gifting, no matter what your temperament, the call to love never, ever changes, and we must make it happen. Moving on to the idea of selecting priorities, Sanders writes, the leader must carefully select priorities. He or she must thoughtfully weigh the value of different opportunities and responsibilities. The leader cannot spend time on secondary matters while central obligations scream for attention. A day needs careful planning. The person who wants to excel must select and reject and then concentrate on the most important items. So setting priorities. We need to think about what are our non-negotiables. What are the things that we will absolutely do no matter what, and they will never be cut from our schedule? What isn't? And I encourage you to do an exercise where you list this out. What do you do on a day-to-day basis? What are the non-negotiables? What isn't? Because we need to figure this out. Because if you're feeling really busy, it's not enough just to say, I'm really busy. You need to figure out what can you possibly cut out to free yourself up a little bit. You might need to consider, do you have too much on your plate because you're just taking on too much? We're going to talk about that in our next point. But are you just saying yes to every single opportunity that arises and as a result getting way too busy? Or are you wasting time on things that don't matter? Could you possibly be wasting time? Could you possibly be feeling really busy even though you're playing Pokemon Go for 2 hours a day? You know, if you're feeling really busy and that's something that's going on in your life, how much excuse do we have to really say that we're really busy when we're doing something like that? You know, I don't know how much excuse we might necessarily have. And a last question to consider is, do you favor the urgent over the important? A good leader is able to always look to the important instead of always just reacting to the urgent matters in their lives. They're not always just saying, God, okay, I got to get to finishing the paper that's due tomorrow. Now I got to finish the teaching that I got to do today. And they're jumping from thing to thing to thing, whatever's just right in front of their face. They're able to look at the big picture and think about the important and focus on that often. And this might require being more diligent. If you're a procrastinator and you just wait to do things until the last second, I don't really have much to offer you. Stop being lazy, you know? Like, I mean, that's all I can really say. Like, if you're busy because you're procrastinating, you're not really busy. So we got to think about, are we using that time well? If you're someone who's procrastinating, you're always going to be going to the urgent, and you're always going to feel busy, and it's really no one's fault but your own at that point. Also, setting boundaries, the third point here. Setting boundaries just kind of means drawing your line in the sand, saying what I am going to do, what I'm not going to do. Are you the type of person who always helps in every scenario? Because that's the Christian thing to do, right? We always help every single time. Well, I firmly believe that sometimes the most loving thing is to say no. Say, I can't help here. I can't do this. Consider this from Howard Hendricks. He says, another reason why we don't have time is that we're doing the wrong thing. And I did not say the bad thing. The real maturity comes in when you have to differentiate between that which is good and that which is better, between that which is better and that which is best. And the good is the enemy of the better. Doing the wrong thing, I mean by that doing things God has not called you to do. I'm finding an awful lot of people that are defeated today for the simple reason that they don't know how to say no. A lot of us might feel just so overwhelmed and so busy just because we don't know how to say no to some opportunities. It's important to realize that others can help. If you're like me, you think that you are the center of the universe and think that nobody can do God's work better than you. So you have to do everything. You have to accomplish everything because you would do it best, right? However, that's not really the case. Even if we might be more functionally inclined or better at putting something together than somebody else, if we're so busy with a bunch of stuff, wouldn't it be better to pass that off to someone who has more free time, who could do it better and put more into it? I think it would. And I think that often I've had to learn over the years that I have to pass things off sometimes and say no to certain things so that, one, another leader can be empowered to do God's work, and two, they're going to do it better than me because I don't have the time to do it. So if we're the people-pleaser type who always say yes, we might need to think about this. It's important to know that not every call to help is necessarily from God. Not every single one. It's important to help. It's important to serve. Like, this is not an opportunity to make an excuse. Like, no, I'm too busy. No, I'm too busy. I can't do this. It's something that we need to pray about and get God's leading on. Is what I'm being asked to do right now, is this a good opportunity from God? Maybe you're being asked, hey, do you want to teach this, you know, big Bible sermon thing or whatever? You know, you're like, oh man, that sounds really cool, but I've spent like no time with my family and I'm not going to really have any time if I don't do that. It might probably would be the best thing to say no to that opportunity because there's a more important matter of loving your family. And we have to think about this. What are the kind of the list of priorities, and can I say yes? Jesus was able to do this. There were times where he met all the needs in the world. There were other times when people asked him for things and he didn't give them to them. People often ask Jesus for signs and he was like, no, I'm not going to give you a sign. You have a sign of Jonah. I'm not going to do that right now. I don't need to do that. Other times he would just slip away and pray. He would just go. He would just disappear and spend time with his father. If Jesus can do this, I think we can too. But we have to realize that we have the freedom and the power to say no. And if you struggle with this, I would really recommend the book Boundaries by Henry Cloud. That would be an excellent book to pick up if you struggle with saying no. If you want to learn, here's a few tips. I would encourage you to track how you spend your time, hour by hour. Yeah, take a week and track your time hour by hour. It really doesn't take that much of your time up. I've done this before. And evaluate how you do meeting God's and your own priorities. It's going to be kind of convicting to see that how much time is devoted to things that really, you're like, I can't believe I spend that much time doing that thing. I remember when I did this back when I was in college, I was like, I spend that much time on Facebook? What? No way. There's no way. But it was like, that was the truth. That was what was really going on. And so it was good for me to learn this, because if I was saying no to certain things when I was wasting all this time, I really had more time on my hands. If you're given an opportunity, spend time praying about when to say yes. Don't just lunge. You're given an opportunity, just like, oh yeah, totally, I'm in there, I'm going to do that. Spend time praying about it. Talk to close friends. Is this a good idea for me? I'm really busy right now. Is this a good idea for me to take this on? And also think about, what are you going to cut out if you're really that busy? What's going to be cut out of your schedule so that you can say yes to this opportunity? Because if you don't think about this, it's probably going to be your time with God, or your time loving the people in your life. It is important to protect your time for rest. And sometimes we have to say no because of that. And when I say rest, I don't mean my 2 hours a day I want to play a video game, or, you know, the hour a day I want to watch Netflix or something like that. Like, your time for actually refreshing rest. Things like vacations, sleep, time with your spouse, time with kids. I have a friend who's an awesome Christian leader. And he is such a diligent, hardworking man. And when I lived with him in college, he would often be so busy and overwhelmed. And he was really diligent. He wasn't really a procrastinator. That he would sleep for 3 to 4 hours a night. And that was bad. I mean, he was doing a lot of service for God. But he became really ineffective because he was always crabby and annoyed and running on empty a lot. And he was way less effective in his work. He needed to pass some things off, so that he could have more opportunity to rest and thus to love. And you also need to recognize your tendencies here. You need to recognize where you stand. Are you the type, when your boss gives you, you know, you need to do this thing, that you always say yes no matter what because you're maybe afraid that he's going to be really mad at you? Or, you know, your boss says, no, I need you to stay an extra 10 hours this week and work overtime. Are you unable to say no to that? You need to think about that and learn, like, where am I going to draw my line in the sand? Where am I going to set my boundary? And so if you're a functioner like me, you need to think about, do you love people more than you love accomplishing things? Because for me, I always say yes because I feel successful when I accomplish tasks. So I'm always going to say yes to opportunities because I want to just keep making things happen, and that makes me feel good at the expense of the people around me because I'm so stressed out, I don't love them. If you're more laid back, you may feel like any opportunity is an intrusion into your schedule, like that's going to make you way too overwhelmed, and you can't possibly take that on. You may need to think about, do you love people more than you love your own comfort? Maybe you need to say yes a little bit more, maybe even no. So that's something to consider. And lastly, being creative. Use your time in fellowship well. You know, if you're a Zenoid and you're really busy and you're going to, you know, the home church and central teaching and all that, and you're like, I don't have any spare time to hang out with the people in my house or the people in my Bible study or whatever. Okay, you know, we spend a lot of time after meetings hanging out. And the reason why we do that is so that you can get good time relating to people, not just, you know, playing a game for 4 hours. That's fun and that's good. But, you know, I don't have time anymore to, like, spend just a spare 3 hours hanging out with a dude in the ministry house all day. I don't have that kind of time anymore. But I do have those hours after meetings to invest in the people in my life. And if you're in this boat and you need to use your time of fellowship well, you need to have a plan. You need to be kind of ready to go as far as, like, I'm going to go into this meeting and I'm going to have these couple conversations. I'm ready to go. I know what I want to talk to people about. That's been really helpful to me. That I'm able to love people because I'm planning out, I'm getting ready to do, instead of bemoaning my situation. You could also incorporate serving into functional tasks. You know, you don't get time to love people around you because you're so busy, but you always get time to go on a run. Okay, take your friend on a run. Just run slow enough so that you can talk. You know, incorporate people. There are functional tasks that you do that can involve other human beings and that can kill two birds with one stone. So it's important to think about what in my life could I possibly incorporate people in so that I can love them even though I'm really slammed. And also recognize that the ways you love others are going to change as your life changes. You know, you might have certain opportunities at a certain age when you're in college. When you get older, things change. You know, I'm not sure how things are going to continue to change for me. You know, the transition from being unmarried to being married changed the way that I love the people in my life pretty significantly. Not the things that I did, you know, the same ways in which we love, we have conversation, we encourage, we challenge, we do all these different things. But the means by which those happen will change over time. And we have to think about it and just be flexible to that and not always just look back to, you know, the old days were so much better because they were like this. We have to continue to be flexible. Lastly, want to think about how can we deal with pressure and anxiety? Because these feelings are the ones that come with being overloaded. What do we do with these? Because they come up often. How do we experience that peace from God? And honestly, instead of giving a bunch of tips here, I instead have a bunch of questions, because I think that pressure and anxiety stem from so many different areas that it's really impossible to hit everything in just like a couple pieces of advice. So I have questions to consider, and as we go through these 10 or so questions, you should think about, is this me? And if it is, you know, write that down and spend time reflecting with God on that later, some other point. So do you take regular time to thank God? Right? Philippians 4 says that we have the peace of God if we thank Him. So do we spend regular time doing that if we're really stressed out? But we might not because we're not spending time thanking God. Wernberg and Prinz, who are secular psychologists in The Anxious Brain, they write, people who have difficulty recognizing positives are more prone to anxiety, depression, and addiction. So if we are not taking any time to recognize the positives in our lives, especially if we're the cynical negative type, we're going to feel overwhelmed more often than not. We need to do that. Robert Emmons writes, giving thanks results in one, being more positive and optimistic in appraisals of one's life. Two, more time spent exercising. Three, fewer physical illness symptoms. Four, more likely to report having helped someone with a personal problem or offered emotional support. Five, more sleep and better sleep quality. And six, a sense of connectedness to others. This is secular research. That when we spend time being positive and being thankful for things, look at the results in anyone's life. So how much more the people of God's, there's more positivity about one's life. There's some nice side effects, more time spent exercising, fewer sickness symptoms. Look at number four, though. More time, more likely to report having helped someone with a personal problem, offering emotional support. Our goal is to love. We don't because we're busy, but if we thank God more, we're going to do this more. Spending a little bit of time thanking God can completely change the way that you live. You get better sleep. You feel more connected to people. If this is so true of people in the world, how much more true the people of God? This is something that will absolutely radically transform our lives and our feelings of pressure and frustration and anxiety and being overwhelmed. We'll be able to go to meetings and not just feel so stressed out all the time because we're able to thank God for a little while to change the way we view our lives. Do you regularly ask for help from others? Or are you like me and just think that you should accomplish everything on your own and you are a failure if you don't do that? That's not the way things are. God has given us the body of Christ for a reason. You might feel stressed out just because you're not getting help from people who can give it to you. You might need that. Do you allow for God to bring interruptions into your schedule that might be opportunities for refreshment? I know, man, I'm always doing stuff, and I'm just like, I don't want anyone to interrupt me. I got my schedule. I got my plan. You know, I'll like write out the to-do list. Like, okay, I'm going to work at this time. I'm going to do this at this time. Got it broken down to like 15-minute intervals. Like, I'm ready to go. That's what I want to do. And then some guy comes up, and he's like, hey, let's talk for a second. I'm just like, dude, don't you know I have my schedule? Don't you know that I have stuff to do? But might those opportunities be chances for a refreshment from God? Might God be sending someone to offer you a little bit of support? Maybe someone wanted to pull you aside to encourage you. That'd be a worthwhile 5 minutes. And I totally believe you could make that up in your work time. I know for me, I have a friend who I hang out with. We've been hanging out every week for like 7 years now. And we hang out on Fridays from 9 to 11. That's during my work time. That's during my 40 hours a week. But I won't change that for the world. Nothing's going to take that away because I'm so confident I can make up those 2 hours in other places because I need that time. I need that. And it makes me more effective and more loving because God is refreshing me through the presence of my close friend. Do you take time to rest? So important. We can't neglect rest. We can't make rest an excuse for not loving others. We can't make rest an excuse for avoiding fellowship. But we have to take it. Do you have regularly scheduled vacations? Do you go, you know, if you're in college, go on adventures with your roommates where you're not really doing anything, you're just having fun. If you're married, take a weekend vacation with your spouse every now and then. Other things will work themselves out. Things will be fine if you take a little bit of time to rest. I believe that you'll be able to come back more effective if you spend a little bit of time resting. Do you have Christ-centered friends you spend time with? Like I was mentioning a couple examples ago. If you don't have a peer friend who you spend regular time with, get one. And I get that feels like you're adding to my schedule and you're making me more busy, but we need it. We need time like this with a close friend who we can invest in, a person we can talk to, because when you're refreshed by those people, you come out more effective in your work, not less. Do you try to take on God's role in ministry? Are you trying to be God? I bet you'd feel pretty stressed out if you were in that boat. I know I have been. I know I've been very stressed out. I'm like, I can't. I'm so overwhelmed because this person's not changing. Cool, that's God's job. That's not your job. So you don't have to worry about that. You don't need to be stressed out about what God does. This could be an entire breakout in and of itself, but it's something to think about. Do you take on God's role in ministry? Have you memorized key scripture on God's rest and peace? Really would recommend this one. Matthew 11, you know, it says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Philippians 4, we talked about. John 16, he says, my peace I've given to you. Not as the world gives. You will have tribulation, but you can take heart because I've overcome the world. You can take heart, I've given you my peace. Isaiah 40 says that those who wait on the Lord will take up wings like eagles. 1 Peter 5:7, cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. 1 John 5:3, these are God's commandments and they are not burdensome to us. Do we know these things in our hearts? Do we really believe in our hearts that these things are true, that God's work is good, that it is not a burden to me? Do we appropriate these truths to our lives? Not that we just know them, but do we believe them? If we have these things in our hearts and we really believe them, we're going to take a new perspective on our busyness. And lastly, do you need to spend time coming back to the cross and remembering why you're doing this all in the first place? Do you need to remember, you know, I'm spending all this time working my job, serving God, loving all these people, and I just feel burnt out. I just feel stressed out. I've had moments like this in my life, and I know I will continue to. And what we have to do sometimes, we need to go back to the cross, and we need to remember why I'm doing this in the first place, why it's worth it for me to be way busier than my peers out in the world, why it's worth it to spend all this time pouring into these people, loving them, giving them my all, doing the nitty-gritty work behind the scenes that I wouldn't have to do, that no one will notice. Why do you do that? Because the God of the universe loves you, because it's worth it, because he died for you. God's love is so worth pouring out. We might need to go back and remember that and spend a little bit of time at the cross. So to conclude, I firmly and completely believe, often from seeing myself fail and then seeing God pull me back up, that busyness does not have to short-circuit our love. It does not have to put an end to that. But we must make the time for God and for others in our lives. We have to get around God. We have to get around people. We cannot let our busyness be an excuse to not spend time loving the people in our lives. And as we do, I believe we will be refreshed and will become more effective in our work, even if we have less time. We will get more done, we will accomplish more things if we choose to engage on the most important priorities that God has given us, even if you have less time. Lord, thank you so much that you give us the capability, the capacity to be at peace and to love the people around us, even when we are overloaded, when we're stressed. Thank you that we don't have to take on every single task in the world, that you've given us the body of Christ, that you are going to accomplish a lot of these things. Lord, we pray that we would be men and women who would often spend time at your feet, that you would empower us to love the people in our lives. God, help us not to make our busyness an excuse to not fulfill your greatest commandment. Help us to love and to give to people sacrificially, knowing that you've given everything to us and more, and that because of that, we can pour out sacrificially even when we feel overwhelmed. Amen.
This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship and is copyrighted. You may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.